Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Professor Applewhite, and your children came to the students, teachers, radio show on the internet. Much for tuning in to Student to Teacher to Student radio show on the internet. This is Professor Applewhite, and I welcome all the listeners out there. Whether you're in China, Nigeria, or anywhere in the United States, we certainly appreciate you tuning in. We have a caller in, 602-577. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Good. Who's this? May I have your name?
Yes, this is Jessica Webb, and I am the Director of Human Resources for the Avondale School District here in Arizona.
Gosh, I welcome you so much, Jessica Webb. Thank you so much for participating as our special guest this morning. Well, certainly, since you're here in Arizona, I'm going to make a special effort to meet with you one-on-one. Okay, this is our headquarters state.
Okay, well, that's great. I have to tell you that this morning I am actually driving to Flagstaff as a tour with my son that's expected to go to NAU. So, but I didn't want to miss the program.
Oh, thank you so much. As a matter of fact, of NAU, well, years ago, we ran a program called Select where we do continuing education units for education teachers. And it's a wonderful program. Keep that in the back of your mind. It's called Select. And so if any of the teachers you know need that continuing education units, certainly have them available through that program at NAU. So we really appreciate you coming on board. We have another caller, and I'm going to get back to you. I lost you. I lost Dr. Webb there. One moment. Dr. Webb, are you still there? Jessica Webb, are you still there? Dr. Webb? Okay, you must be going through a rough area there, so that's okay. Just hang on. Callers, please hold on. Okay, our topic today is a continuation of how we develop a positive dialogue. Everything is about positive dialogue with this show anyway. Everyone that comes on this show wants to take a positive approach to finding out what is the best solution for increasing the success rate of adult students, all students actually, no child should be left behind, but no student should be left behind at whatever level they're at. And so we appreciate the positive dialogues that are developed. We have Dr. Jessica Webb, who is from the City of Avondale School District. Jessica Webb joins us this morning as the Director of Human Resources. She is in a traveling mode right now. She came on just a moment ago, and so she may be having some technical difficulties. Please hold on for her. We'll get another caller in. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Good morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. May I help you?
Yes.
Your name. Let's see. Okay, one moment. Okay. Hello.
Yeah,
Hello, may I help you?
Yeah, my name is
Okay, this is Professor Applewhite. May I help you? Good morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. You're at 40200. Who's calling in? Just give me your first name or last if you wish. Okay, we might be having some technical difficulties here. Please hold on. Yes, we are connected. Just be patient with us. This is the internet, the newfound way of communication. Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Professor Apple, this is Dorothy. I can hear you.
You can hear me pretty good?
Yes, I hear you just fine, and I also heard Jessica. I'm not sure the reason that Nazim Rashid isn't coming in, because I can hear him saying hello.
Mm-hmm. He may be, unfortunately, he may be muted. And so I'll go up. Look at is if he's muted online right now. Okay, I'll go back in. I believe this is his phone number, 623. And our co-host, Nazim Rashid, is going to join us in just a moment. If you're interested in that beautiful music that you hear at the beginning and end of the show, it is Nazim Rashid, and a large portion of that comes from his album, The River Nile, okay? And so it's available on Amazon. Always putting in a plug for our dear brother there, because he brings us such great information, and we really appreciate that. Well, as we go forward, Dorothy, are you still there?
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay. I'd like to go ahead and start by reading the description of the show, the updated description. Okay. The title today is Positive Dialogue with School Administrators and Employers. They're talking to us as teachers and the students that will be coming online. We certainly appreciate that. Okay?
Okay.
So would you give us a description?
Okay. It's about the success, the classroom, and the work, and the how do you really feel about success in the classroom and in the workforce environment? How can school administrators, special education teachers, and employers help?
Mm-hmm.
Professor Applewhite, Host and Nazim have invited several school administrators and employers involved in preparing students for the workforce.
Mm-hmm. Dorothy, we also invited some special education teachers, too.
We hope
that they join us this morning. Oh, no problem. Just adding in there. So what are we going to discuss? What's our focus?
We'll focus on the risk, at-risk issues and
mm-hmm.
disabilities and what's happening, what's causing them to have struggles transitioning successfully into the post-secondary training or college or jobs and apprenticeships?
Absolutely.
We're going to share strategies and ideas about how to improve or help them successfully transition in.
Mm-hmm.
And I see also something about anonymous human resource professional is going to share.
Yes. I had a conversation with someone who shared some tips with us, and I'd like to share those in-house secrets, if you will, about the hiring process, hiring and elimination process at major corporations. She did not feel comfortable coming on board with her name and the company, but she does say some very interesting things about how people are screened, okay? And so I'm going to go ahead and ask for some of our callers to call back in. I'm going to have to hang up on you and call and ask you to call back in because we're having some technical difficulties. I'll try my best to, let's see. No, I'm not getting you, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to ask you to call back in. For some reason, the switchboard did not pick you up, so please don't think I'm rude by hanging up on you here, okay?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, Yes, I hear you now. Hello, how are you?
Oh, good. Nazim Rashid here.
Good morning. Nazim Rashid, tell the listeners a little bit about who you are.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Well, let's see here. I'm a personal development consultant with Applewhite Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And my book kind of caught me off guard there, but it's okay.
My book,
Reconnecting, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, will be coming out next year. And we'll be talking from that book today. And so I'm here just to support Professor Applewhite in her endeavor and goals to help those at risk, those with disabilities, those who have been told they can't succeed, and help them really realize their goals. So that's what I'm here as a support mechanism.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we certainly appreciate the book, Reconnecting, a lot of the themes that we talk about are about reconnecting with how to parent ourselves in a very, very positive way and nurture ourselves, basically. For those who might not understand the concept, what you're really talking about is nurturing ourselves, right?
Yes, absolutely, yes. You know,
right.
And really understanding how to really do that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. And, you know, believe it or not, as I'm going to speak with Jessica about, let's see if Jessica's still on air with us. Jessica, are you still there? Okay, Dr. Webb, Jessica Webb from the Arizona Department, Avondale School District, joined us just a little earlier, and we're having some technical difficulties. The switchboard is actually going a little crazy here, so I might have to go ahead and log out of the switchboard and go back in again. Okay, so please forgive me if I've lost any calls there in the process. Okay, here we are. We're back on, and I think that we can get everybody on the call right now. Okay, here we go. 480-200, good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Can you hear me? Okay, this is Professor Applewhite. Can you hear me? Hello? 602-791? Okay. Good morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Welcome to Student to Teacher to Student.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Great.
Great. I'm glad to hear your voice.
Good morning, Danita. Dr. Applewhite.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. This is Student to Teacher to Student. And this is a radio show on Internet. And we certainly appreciate all of the listeners out there that are coming on board. We want to try to get Dr. Jessica Webb back online again. She's with the City of Avondale School District in Arizona because she's going to give us start a positive dialogue with us as a school administrator about how we can enhance success for students who are at risk and have disability issues. Now, one of the things that's real important for everybody to understand out there is that just because someone has a disability does not necessarily place them at risk, okay? You are at risk if you have factors that may indeed impact your learning, okay, impact your success in graduating from any kind of training program or academic program within a college setting or any kind of post-secondary training. So what we try to do at White Apple Institute is to help students and give them the support that they need so that they don't fall through the cracks, okay? So one of the things that we're really concerned about, Jessica, if you can hear me at all, Dr. Webb, we really appreciate you being on air with us. Are you still there? Okay. Caller on air, I have. I have that you're on air right now, but I don't. She is traveling through, I believe she said, Prescott, Arizona, where Northern Arizona University is, and sometimes the transmission signals are not there. So we'll probably get her in and out, Nazim. Is that okay?
Okay. Okay,
so
fine. Okay.
We've got to deal with it, don't we? Okay. Well, we have students online. We have teachers. We have Donna Govan online, who's the author of Take the E Out of Ego and Go. But most importantly, Donna Govan was a counselor, teacher for the Inner Peace Movement for how many years, Donna?
33
years. That's as long as I've been teaching. That's right. Okay, you're dating yourself. You're dating yourself.
I don't think we ever stopped, though, just formally changed
That's right. We continue to learn, don't we?
And to teach. Wherever we go, we're in
That's right. That's why the show is called Student to Teacher to Student, okay? One of the things that we would like to do is to talk about today why students are not being prepared. What is the problem? And may I, at the beginning of this show, and I'll come back in and say it later, okay, one of the things that I feel, and I deal with a lot of assessment. I'm on the assessment end as an educational psychologist, and so the assessments or tests that we give prior to graduation from high school and even after are not inclusive of the entire, of the whole being. Now, Nazim and I have conducted shows talking about when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Right, Nazim?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so part of that means that the student has to be at some kind of readiness, and maybe Nazim can elaborate on that, just going back on some of the past conversations that we've had. But the readiness is involved with the total being. In other words, instead of just looking at the academic proficiency of a student, I am suggesting, highly recommending, that we have assessments that deal with the total self, which means how do you live? Do you live at home with your parents? Do you live at home with a single parent? Do you have children? Do you have transportation and childcare and all of those things that can lead into being at risk of failure? In addition to the academic or cognitive ability to succeed in school, do you have what you need if you have a disability, physical or mental? Do you have medication and the appropriate accommodations and equipment for you? These are things that I never see on an assessment, okay, except the ones that we are developing through the White Apple Institute. And that is what I feel is the major problem. Now, I am open to listening to everyone else. Nazim, before you begin, let me get these extra callers that just came in here. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Okay.
This is Tom. How are you doing?
Oh, really great, Tom. Thank you for calling in this morning. Tom is head of our student advisory board for White Apple Institute. So we certainly appreciate your comments this morning.
Well,
nothing. Go ahead.
One thing I do agree with you, they need to do assessments, especially for people like who have mental illness and things where they have to take medication, because without the medication, oftentimes they don't function at all, and they function great on the medication. But if they can't get their medication or something's wrong, then they can't function as students that well. Or if they don't have transportation, that can be another need. And it's important that all the students' needs are taken care of, financial and otherwise. Otherwise, they may be at risk not to graduate. So I think that's a very good point she makes.
Okay, Tom, thank you so much for that. And I appreciate you, your agreement with me. But I'm also open to disagreement, okay? Is that Jessica Webb back on? Do we have Jessica Webb back on again? Okay. Maybe we'll have to try her getting on next week. We certainly appreciate her attempt to get online with us this Saturday morning. She has some wonderful things to share with us. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite. Welcome. 480-200. Okay. All right. We'll go back to Nazim here and see if he can add on anything that Tom just said.
Well, I think it's very important for us to know who we're dealing with.
Yes.
And that's why I really think IEPs or individual, you know, plans for the students is very necessary. Now, we have that IEP for, you know, so-called disabled population and so forth,
mm-hmm.
and those have special needs.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that everybody needs to have one.
Yes. Yes.
Because, you know,
that's
you can't assess everybody the same. Everybody's different. Everybody comes into the world differently, you know, with different sensitivities, different gifts, and they learn differently at different rates. And so we need to have another kind of system so that we can have a program that's designed for everyone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have that
yeah.
right now. We don't have that.
No, we don't. And you know, when you're talking about the beginning of education, you know, you're talking about the age of industrialization in 1920s or so, when John Dewey got together with many other people and founded institutions to learn by. I mean, we already had, you know, we've always been learning as humans since the early Greek days, but the actual school system today academically was started around that time, and unfortunately, academics was the major emphasis. You know, we just didn't look at at-risk issues or other things like that. And people with disabilities, unfortunately, weren't even discussed as far as going to school. And in many countries today, unfortunately, they're not even discussed. You know, it's like you're born with a disability or you got injured and you have a disability, then as far as they're concerned, many people think that life is over for them. Okay? We have a few more
callers
coming in. Let me go ahead and take them, and then they might have some comments for you on what you just said, Nassim. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Welcome.
Hi, Professor. This is Jessica again coming in.
Oh, thank you so much, Jessica. I'm so glad. We're going to go ahead and focus on you for a moment because we need to get as much as we can from you before you go back in to your event at NAU. One moment, please.
Okay.
Welcome to Student to Teacher. How are you this morning? Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead. Just tell me who this is.
This is Maria.
Oh, good morning, Maria. It's so good
to
hear you. Yes, part of our Student Advisory Board for White Apple Institute. We always appreciate the students that we have on board to come on and discuss their issues or just listen. Okay? Thank you so much. Okay. And we have another caller here from 209 area. 345.
Hi.
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 Good morning. May I have your name?
Hi, my name is Kim. I'm calling actually from San Francisco.
San Francisco, wonderful. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. And you're one of our board of directors, and I am really pleased to have you calling in this morning. I know how busy you are on Saturday morning with the clientele that you work with. Ms. Owens works with a very severe clientele in the San Francisco Bay Area. So thank you. Any comments that you have on the preparation and transitioning, please feel free to jump in. I'm going to go back to Dr. Webb here, Jessica Webb. Okay, one moment. And we're going to ask her a few questions. Okay?
Okay.
Jessica Webb, are you with us? You're on air? Hello? You're on air? Jessica Webb? Okay. We'll wait for her to come back in for a moment. Okay. In the meantime, let's define for a moment that we're talking about different things, Nassim, and all of our listeners and callers. We're talking about not just being ready for college. Everybody, you know, there's many people that believe that college is the only answer. Okay, but Tom, you know that there are different things that people can do, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, and especially if we're talking about incarceration issues and the inability to read as quickly as other people or learn computer skills. Sometimes training people in some of the other vocations works, and that's why we encourage apprenticeship, okay? So I ask all our listeners to be careful of the background noise so that we can get everybody's comments, okay? Anyone else that wants to just jump in and say something about what I've said already or Nassim? Any other comments?
Any other comments out there?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
This is Tom. I was just going to say sometimes people who are incarcerated have a lot of trouble finding jobs, and some of them can start their own company and get started and then either stay with their own company or transfer to another company because it's easier to find a job after they've been imprisoned.
It's very difficult, Tom. It's almost next to impossible in our economy today when we have college graduates vying for jobs that are only available for the few that are willing to even, you know, go in and work in a restaurant at, you know, at a minimal level. And I don't minimize the value of that experience. Now, don't get me wrong, because I worked at McDonald's myself and Burger King and all of those places. And I feel that fast food experience is a good experience to have. But I also encourage people, if that's not where you want to be, then let's assess you and see what other career interests you have and skill level. Is Jessica online yet? Okay, she'll come back in, I'm sure. Okay. Any other comments out there?
Sister Applewhite?
Yes.
Okay, this is Jerron.
Hello, Jerron. Always a pleasure to hear from you.
Thank you. just to offer a comment about the situation of the incarceration. I mean, like, I definitely agree with you. It's harder Well, I don't know if it's necessarily economy related. I think part of it is economy related, but even outside of the current economic situation, it still is hard to get some people to give you a second chance once you've been convicted of a felony crime. That's why come I think that this is one of the factors that contributes to the attrition rate. I think there's something like an 87% of people that get out of prison and end up going back at some point. I think part of that is just like, even if they want to change, even if they want to do better, even if they determine that they're going to do better, it's so hard that it'll make you give up.
Yes. This is very, very true. And it's not just, you know, we talk about incarceration, and we know that that is definitely causes a red flag for many employers. And one of the things that this one of the employers shared with me is that, unfortunately, they do look at that box, and if that box is checked that you have a felony conviction, then usually you're put into a separate pile. And, of course, they don't want to make that an open situation that everybody knows about, but that's just the way it's done. Most jobs today have so many hundreds of applicants applying sometimes for 1 to 5 jobs, okay? And, you know, if the employer has to make a decision based on, you know, whether I'm going to hire somebody with a record or somebody without a record, okay, or someone with a disability or at-risk issue. I mean, some of those at-risk issues can be seen in an application. And an employment application. By just looking at how long a person has lived at a certain address, by looking at how many jobs a person has had in a certain time frame, those are at-risk issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, yes, unfortunately, you're right. It's not just the economy. And don't even forget racism. I mean, racism is still a factor out there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We can't deny that. Racism on all kinds of levels. You know, I'm not just talking about against African Americans. I'm talking about African Americans against other African Americans and
right.
Mexicans against other Mexicans. You know, I mean, it goes on and on. And so how can school administrators and employers help more to help students become successful in transitioning from high school into college or from adult education programs into some kind of training so that they can get a good job?
One suggestion I have is, it's just a suggestion, but, you know, I think most companies have this probationary period, a period of anywhere from 30 to 90 days at the beginning of employment, whereby which you're evaluated consistently and things like that. I would propose, like, a situation where, like, these at-risk employees, maybe there could be some kind of incentive for them to take these at-risk employees or these people with these special concerns and have them go through, like, a 6-month probationary period where they are able to actually teach them the job and make sure that they're able to effectively do the job. And at the end of that 6-month period, then they become an employee with just as many rights and abilities as every other employee. I think that would be a way to get some people working and off the streets, and it would also give the people a little bit more hope. And it would, I mean, like, we'd have to come up with some kind of incentive for the employee, for the employers, though.
Right, exactly. Now, we have a few, the government allows a few incentives. And I'll talk about that in a minute, just in case there's some employers out there listening. But I think somebody else wanted to say something. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was going to say a couple things. One thing is some prisons, when you're incarcerated, have places that actually hire convicts and help you with the job afterwards. And also phone work you can often do, like doing surveys I used to do, and we'd get ex-cons. Now, it's not a great job. It doesn't pay a whole lot, but it's a starting place, you know, for when you get out so that you can work there 3-6 months or whatever and then apply for something else you want to do. And get a record of working started, even though it's, like I said, you're not going to get a great job out of prison most of the time. But at least if you get a job and get a work record started, it becomes much easier to get employed after you've been in prison.
And that gets into really preparing an individual to understand that even though they may have studied during their time of incarceration or that they may have made every effort to pass an adult education program if they have not been incarcerated, that we have to sometimes still start at telemarketing or fast food jobs. Many people do not want to start at that level, and that is one of the issues that we have. And I think that that's a lack of us exposing that reality to them before they leave a program, whether it's an incarceration program or any other type of at-risk situation that they're in, is that when they leave a domestic violence situation or any type of situation like that, and they start entering a program, they need to understand that at the end of this program, you're not going to walk into a bank management job. And that's the bottom line. And so that makes a very, very uncomfortable feeling for many of the people that we work with because, number one, they may have families to support. And so that kind of money is not feasible to even usually to take care of an apartment unless you've got great sales ability. And so that's where we run into this problem. Go ahead, please.
Yes, this is Donna. I was like something here that we have always worked, both Jerry and myself, and we're both here today, working with people from the, you might say, inside out. And you're kind of, on today's call, you're almost starting from the outside, really far outside, like working with the supervisors and thinking back to how can we help, you know, the people who are with the system, cleared down, you might say, or deep level of the student, far from the administrator. But if we start from the inside out, that means, like, for instance, in our book, where we take the time to ask a person, are you maybe stuck in an attitude of your ego running you rather than you running your life?
Right.
It's not totally negative. It just has an impression that steps out ahead of you and says, you know, I have to be important here or I'm not going to have this job. Or
right.
I have to take, somebody has to make a special place for me because I have this disability. This ego can really offer a lot of problems. So one of the things that we have been working with is making different types of classes where people could enter from, you know, a different level. Some people are working on their millionaire status. Some people are working on getting a job, and there's a ton of levels in between. So if we can, but we're still all wake up in the morning, open the eyes, and we're going to approach that day.
Exactly. Exactly. Very good. Very good point. And as you know, Donna, we do talk about the resource of the first resource is the resource within ourselves. And we hope that any school administrators and employers are listening today. Maybe they'll even pick up your book and Nazim's book of Reconnecting and read a little bit about how we can expand assessments of an individual and encourage them to look more inside of themselves to prepare for whatever job comes about so that they can begin somewhere instead of going back into a life of crime or back into a life of doing nothing but watching soap operas and Judge Judy's or Judge James. I hate to just mention one judge, okay, during the daytime, you know.
Right.
You know, that they can do something special with their life. There's a lot of jobs out there that are not maybe the best jobs that someone might want, but I've worked many, many jobs myself, and I feel comfortable that I've learned a lot through those jobs. And I feel that if school administrators, and going back into our theme for the day, if school administrators and employers together, because they do work together, because employers come to the schools, to the high schools, to different training programs after high school, and they're trying to talk to people about how you can get into this company. Okay, they do that. It's not enough, Jerron. Okay. But
right.
Something.
Right. The one thing that I was going to offer is that, like, being someone in administration at a facility that takes in these people, and we do work with them from the inside out. I have like firsthand knowledge. Part of my frustration, Ms. Appleway, is the fact that like these people, they come here and they change their complete lives around. You know, like they start to develop a sense of self-worth
But then, you know, the world destroys that for them. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't. You can work on yourself and work on yourself and change your attitude and change your attitude and change your attitude. But then to still be told, no, I'm not going to hire you because of the things that you did in your past, even though, you know, you've changed now, I'm still not going to give you a chance based on what you used to do. You know, it becomes. It adds a challenge to us because then we deal with the people who have tried to reconnect with the real world, who have then been crushed by that same real world because they still aren't being given a chance. They still aren't even being given a chance.
Yes, and that goes for even someone who is managing their medication and staying mentally balanced because they have a mental. They're diagnosed with a mental illness. They still have to do those things, and there's still employers out there that have stereotypes. Yes, you were asking a question, someone.
Yes, I was. Apple, this is Kim from San Francisco.
Oh, please, yes.
Hi. So far, I've enjoyed listening to you all talk about the discussion about the employers and what needs to be done with people coming out of the prison system. Can you all hear me pretty good?
Yes, we hear you fine.
Yes.
Okay, the young man that was talking about the jobs and having the issues with getting hired, I work directly with women coming out of prison right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And one of the things I noticed with employers who come into our program is it's really coming down to a sheer supply and demand. And where you thought you wouldn't get a job with a felon, we have several people here that are getting those jobs here in California. I'm not quite sure what state you're in. But one of the things we have to look at with our politicians and those who are supplying these jobs is what is the infrastructure of America? Because Obama talked about the infrastructure of America falling apart. We have bridges and various jobs here that go green jobs that definitely felons will get these jobs. It's just a matter of our politicians getting off their butts and looking at what is happening to our country in a whole. Because at some point when you look at supply and demand, it won't matter that you have a felon. I say this because I see it every single day right now. We have several women who are taking the Starbucks jobs, who are getting any job that they can get. We also have a men's program, but I'm not that familiar with what's going on with them. But they're taking any job. I was listening to the other woman talk about egos and the egos that people have in terms of what job they want to take. When you talk about supply and demand and not having money to pay your bills, if we were in other countries, many Americans would take those jobs.
Yes.
So it's about stereotypes being broken, and again, it's about supply and demand. And hopefully this is encouraging for you. Felons are being hired. There are several jobs to repair America right now. They're just scrambling to see who will get those jobs and who will bid to take those type of jobs. So let's not forget, just because you have a felon, it doesn't mean that you can't work for yourself and be an entrepreneur.
Keep that in mind. Last point is very well taken. You can indeed become an entrepreneur, but you've got to start somewhere, and that means that sometimes you have to take jobs that maybe you don't want. Okay,
yeah.
And I don't think that those jobs are bad jobs because some people love those jobs and they're happy in those jobs. But if you're not happy in those jobs, still it goes back to that thing, and I just heard it when you were speaking, like an underlying theme of attitude is everything. And I think that leads into what Donna was saying, attitude, okay? And so we've got to help them, school administrators and employers, when they go out and talk to students or when they meet with someone that has some at-risk issues, to encourage them to develop a positive attitude and that it's not the end of the world because you have a past that may be not as comfortable as you'd like it to be. Or maybe your grades, you needed remedial training. Maybe you're going to a community college and you have to enter with the 091 or 071 courses, which are not counted on the transcript, but they're a beginning for you to develop your skills. We have another caller here. Let's try to see if we can get that caller online, the 626 number. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, Professor Applewhite. This is JoLynn.
Oh, good morning, JoLynn. Thank you so much for calling in. We're going to go back to our – do you have a comment? Because our co-host, Nazim Rashid, is preparing to say some things to us.
Okay. I will make a real quick comment.
Yes.
I want to do an accolade here to Donna. Everything is starting from within. Everything that you have outside of you, you have actually created from within you. And all of those beliefs that people put in place here, of including not being able to get a job because you're incarcerated, it's a belief. And I have to say that each individual has to go in and work within themselves to change those negative beliefs to a positive movement forward, because you really are the ones that are creating your world out there. And everything really is, like you said, Donna, attitude. And Nazim, your book is fabulous.
Yes.
And it is all about healing that attitude and those beliefs that are holding you in a place that you can't move forward, that you think you can move forward. It's in your thinking.
It's so, in our thinking, in our attitudes, in our thoughts. That's right. Absolutely.
So there's really nothing outside of you here. You're creating every bit of it.
Yes.
And if you all start really digging into understanding more of what the scientists and the quantum physics and world out there are really saying, it's amazing. You can start shifting your way of being in life. Our world can start making change here. And
yes.
So
Lynn, I would love for, at the end of the show, Dorothy comes on and she talks about resources and acknowledges our sponsors. Please stay online, because I'm sure Dorothy would like to include your telephone number and your information as we come to a close of the show. We've got about 18 minutes remaining on the show right now, and I want to go back for a moment and tell you a little bit about that anonymous human resource professional. That was one person who is talking about one corporation. Every corporation does not create a pile like that. Every corporation does not look at omitting an application simply because you check the box. However, sometimes I do encourage students to leave the box blank. And the reason why is if they have enough on their resume to encourage an employer to look at them, sometimes that's enough for them to call them up anyway. And when you get into the interview, you can explain why you left the box blank and explain how you can be a productive person for that company. And sometimes that makes a difference. Now, that's only in extreme cases, because leaving anything blank on an application is not a good idea, okay? But it's just one of the strategies that I tell students if they have, especially a felony. You know, misdemeanors are...
Ima is a success story of that very theory. She put in an application. I mean, it's at a gas station, but it's walking distance from the house. And she put in a job application. She left that box blank and was able to explain to them on the interview, and she got the job. So I mean,
wonderful. I hope that's not one of the students that we've been talking about, right? Is that one of the students we've been talking to?
Yeah, Sister Ima.
Oh my God! I am so happy to hear that. Okay. Beyond what you can imagine. All right, I have to talk to you more on that level on the 101, Nazim and myself. Nazim, anything that you'd like to share as our co-host? Remember, the chat line is open. Dorothy, can you give the call numbers before Nazim starts? Because we've got about more than 15 minutes remaining.
Yes, it's 1-646-727-3758.
And they can always
connect with White Apple.
Didn't hear you very well. Try that again, Dorothy.
For the top row, dial 1.
No, I can't hear that, but...
Turn her computer down.
Okay.
Is that better?
Okay, I think that is better. Go ahead, Dorothy.
Are we supposed to consult? Okay, dial 1-646-727-3758.
And we also, the chat room is open. Our co-host Nazim Rashid runs the chat room, and we always have some good conversations going on in there also. So feel free to log into the chat if you're at a computer. Okay, Nazim, are you ready to do some expounding on the conversation this morning? I don't see where Jessica's been able to call back. Jessica Webb, are you there at all online, on air? I still have your phone up, but I don't hear you at all. So you must be in a on a pretty tough area. Okay, go ahead, Nazim.
Okay, all right. Well, I concur with the previous callers looking at how we can pull from within. It's very important to have a real support system, and the first support system is yourself.
That's right.
You got to start there. And, you know, as far as the incarcerated, I worked in halfway houses in the Bay Area. Matter of fact, I'm glad we got someone from the Bay Area because there's a probation officer that connects the interested inmates to halfway houses. And, matter of fact, Goodwill, you know, they have a contract with some halfway houses.
Right.
And they hire felons. And so there's a way that it can be done. And I had a group of kids when I was in the Bay Area. We started an incense-making business. They made incense and sold that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made T-shirts and sold those T-shirts with positive life-giving messages on them. They sold those
mm-hmm.
things.
Yep.
You see, so there's all kinds of things that can be done. But first, we always got to start with self. We got to start there. And we have
you
to really
sling
deserve
drugs on
inside.
The corner, right? If you can sling some drugs on the corner, you can sling some T-shirts, right, Nazim?
Exactly. Sure, of course. Yes. With T-shirts, you know, you have a positive message that actually gives life and so forth, and that actually helps promote life and promote
yes.
health. And you're doing a lot of things. You're making money, and you're helping, you know, remake the world at the same time.
Yes.
You see, so those are good things to do. So we always got to go from within. That's very, very important. See, we're living and trying to live a life from a damaged past, and a lot of us have not reconciled those paths. And so what happens, we have these ghosts and these monsters from the past that keep coming to our present to cause our problems here, you know, and cause our failures and lack of attaining goals. You know, they keep popping up. We haven't reconciled those things, you know. I mean, in matter of fact, I've seen a lot of times when I work with students, and I see a lot of them have what I call the finish line syndrome. You know,
mm-hmm.
that basically means that they're preparing themselves, they're working hard, and as soon as they can see their goal, they fail.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they drop down right before they go across the finish line. They drop down right then, they fall right then. I've seen that a lot of times,
mm-hmm.
and so I kind of live with that, the finish line syndrome. You know, and
mm-hmm.
so when you ask yourself, why are they doing that? They work hard. They prepared. They're in the race. They're beating their competition. And as soon as they can see themselves graduating, as soon as they can see themselves crossing that finish line, they pull out. Why
yes.
is that?
I've seen
why
it
is that?
So many times. I truly believe, and I'm going to speak for the school administrators out there that I have spoken with, and I myself being one in the past, I can tell you this, that it's because of the assessment process, I said at the very beginning of the show, because we haven't really thoroughly looked at what's going on for that whole person. And I think it goes back to what Donna was saying about the ego work and all the resources within. I think that everyone from Duran and Kim, they all have these great ideas, and they're all workable ideas. But through an assessment process that only looks at academics, we haven't looked at what is really going to support that person. When they get to just about that end and they put in all that work, you're right, okay, what happens? Why do they drop? And I've seen it happen too, and it makes me cry, okay? But I'll tell you something. That's why White Apple Institute exists, okay? As we come to a close in this program, I want you all to remember that the students that come to us, that talk to us, are the ones who are really at that last, that edge. Okay, and if we don't help them and don't support them, and sometimes it's just helping them to pay an electric bill or get some coats for their children so they can take them to daycare and go to a job in school. So those are the little things that happen right at the end, because you're right, Nazim. Why would a person go through all of that, all of the training, apprenticeship programs, job training programs, going to school, going to college, and all of that, and get to the last week or so. Any other comments out there?
Well, this is Tom again. I was going to say, if a person wants to start an entrepreneurial job, one thing I've done is from a wheelchair, so I know it can be done fairly easy. You can build workbenches and little herb boxes and things like that, and then either put your website online or just put an ad in the newspaper and sell that kind of stuff. I never had to do that because I was already working a job, but that's one job that a whole lot of people could do, you know, or if they just wanted some money on the side and you don't have to sell, you don't have to do anything. Just if you know a little rough carpentry. And like I said, it's rough carpentry. It's not any fine motor skills or anything. You don't have to be a whiz with your hands. I certainly am not.
Well, Chong, we certainly appreciate that, especially speaking to some of our listeners out there that may use wheelchairs for mobility. We certainly know that there are different things that people can do at different levels of ability, and we talk about that a lot. That's why we don't focus on the disability. You know, we know that anyone is capable, whether you have a reading deficit, any kind of learning disability, whether you're dealing with depression, bipolar, anything. I've seen the students graduate with schizophrenia and walk across the stage. As long as we have medical management and accommodations, as long as we can do those things that help another human being, if you know someone out there, if you're a listener yourself and you know someone that can be helped by our program, please make sure that you contact us. Nazim, you have any other things that you want to say to our audience or anybody else that would like to jump in and say something? We have about 8 minutes remaining, and we have to give Dorothy some time to talk about resources.
Yes, I wanted to talk about other. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
This is Jerry Govan.
Okay.
And I wanted to say that, you know, with this felon thing, years ago I loaned a great deal of money to a felon who had a plan. And so I suggest to people that Applewhite Institute is a place where you can review your plan and look at for guidance. And of course, we're always available to look at the plans and be supportive of Applewhite.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Nazim, go ahead.
I have to tell you, I loaned this man $70,000, and he paid it back.
And
he's a successful entrepreneur, and that was almost 20 years ago. Last year, I had a call from a gentleman in San Diego wanting to know about this man, and he had given me as a reference, and we discussed it, and he made a significant loan to this man who had fully disclosed that he had a felon on his record. And even 12 life. And the man, I know, loaned him a lot of money, and I know he was successful in doing what he did and paid it back. So there's lots of different entrepreneur levels of opportunity, just like doing crafts or hand work with your hands. But
yes.
Plan, figure out what you're going to do with it. You know, it's really
important.
Well,
we certainly appreciate that.
That's your, and I just want to throw that out. I had one
thank
other
you very
thing.
Much.
We
have about 6 minutes remaining, and I just want I'm sorry, Jerry. I didn't mean to cut you off. We just have about 6 minutes remaining on the show, and we certainly appreciate your comments. I do want this show is based on school administrators and employers really getting some information about how they can help us. And I see a lot of potential. And on the website, as a matter of fact, in probably a few weeks, you'll begin to see students and their profiles there who are asking for money for, starting their own business or financial assistance in other ways that will help them. So we encourage you to keep looking at the White Apple Institute website. Nazim, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to say something briefly about the word and idea of faith.
Faith. Good. Yes.
This is what it really takes in order for us to get from one point to another, especially when the world is telling you you can't see because of who knows what they think you are,
mm-hmm.
you know. So faith, that's one of the reasons, a paragraph, you know, taken from my book, just on
yes,
this here,
go ahead.
Okay?
Please, go ahead.
One without faith cannot see invisible reality. Within an invisible reality, we will find a plan beyond our plan, a way beyond our way, a path beyond our path, answers beyond our answers. We will see this when we can cultivate the consciousness of faith. We will now be able to see beyond what our physical eyes make known to us. When our eyes give us death, destruction, and chaos, our internal eyes give us hope and promise. When our heart gives us broken promises and betrayal, our internal heart gives us the promise of eternal love and satisfaction. When our sense of touch gives us abrasiveness and abuse, our internal touch gives us comfort, warmth, and compassion. When our ears give us profanity and berating comments, our internal ears give us esteem-building words, assuring us of our place on God's favorite list. When our nose gives us the scent of filth and disease, our internal nose gives us a sweet smell of a divinely protected environment, which is life-producing, relaxing, and comforting. I just wanted to throw it out there because it's very important
wow.
to understand
wow.
we have
powerful.
This here, we can accomplish
powerful.
Anything.
Powerful, powerful. No need to say anything. That speaks for itself. We have one more caller that just came in, and then we'll have to move to Dorothy for a resource. And if anyone has something inspirational to close with and we have time, please prepare for that. Okay, hold on a minute. We have a caller here from a 343 prefix. Good morning. This is Professor Apple. Hi, who's this? Hello? Okay. We're going to go on now to our resources. We've got about 3 minutes remaining, Dorothy.
Okay.
And we're going to recognize our sponsors.
We want to thank Dale and Eric of Specialized Mobility Services.
Yes, absolutely.
They made a donation, a cash donation, actually, and also they're very supportive. And
yes.
Their number is 480-415-1736.
And they
also,
help fix wheelchairs and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also Wendy Duncan Insurance Agency, her number is 480-620-6013.
Now, if they miss these numbers, they can connect with you through White Apple Institute, right, Dorothy?
Yes, and I also put Jolynn's information, spoke
mm-hmm.
about the transformational energies, the biofeedback
mm-hmm.
specialist and wellness consultant. Her number is 480-626-5697, and I added this information to the chat line on your Blog Talk Radio site.
Okay, all right. Well, that's wonderful.
Okay.
And I know you don't want our listeners to forget the public library, to go there, use the Internet.
Yes. How can I forget? I took my mom there last Monday. I had to assist my mom at the public library. We had a great time.
That's right.
It's
Just
wonderful.
Keep those doors open. Keep those doors of the public library open because there's nothing like going into a body of knowledge like that, walking into that institutional setting. It's just wonderful feeling. Any other comments out there? Any inspirations? We've got 1 minute remaining on the show. We certainly appreciate everyone that's commented today and ask for you to join us again next Saturday morning at 10 a.m.
to 11.
Okay? Or listen to some of our archive shows. Okay? Any inspirations? Any final statements?
Professor Apple, now see my sheet here.
Yes.
So I want to add one more thing here. The census it will be hiring a lot of people starting in January, lot of people, and so it's very important people know they can go to www.bangent.com and look at the jobs coming up, a lot of jobs coming up in January.
Wonderful. So if you need that information again, contact Dorothy. Just call our number. Dorothy, give them our number for White Apple Institute. I better do that for
us. Our number is 480-659-8582.
Right, and our website?
Our website is whiteappleinstitute.org.
Oh, and don't forget that blast-off thing. Anytime you buy anything from any of the stores, you will be able to give a donation back to White Apple Institute. Go on our website and find out about that. We also have memberships that you can buy a membership, and that is no one gets paid at the Institute. It's all volunteer staff. So all the money goes into just keeping our business going and helping the students to succeed. at school and work. Much love and much peace to all of our listeners out there. Stay tuned next week. Thank you. This is Professor Applewhite signing off.